rise.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2014-249, Robert and Leslie Cranebrink versus the Tax Commissioner. For the appellant is Mr. Cranebrink. If you want to step to the podium, present your argument, sir.
Good morning, Your Honor. I will be presenting for both Leslie Cranebrink and Robert G. Cranebrink this morning. On May 22, 2012, the appellants Robert G. Cranebrink and Leslie R. Cranebrink received notice from Joseph W. Testa from the Ohio Department of Taxation of final determination stating that both Robert G. Cranebrink and Leslie R. Cranebrink owed the state of Ohio Department of Taxation of total of $26,901.91. The appellants responded to the notification requesting a hearing for appeal of the final determination from the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. A hearing was scheduled for August 7, 2013, was held, attended by the appellant Robert G. Cranebrink, but not by Leslie R. Cranebrink because of a scheduled work conflict, and the representative from the state of Ohio, Sophia Hossein, Assistant Attorney General. A continuance was requested by the state of Ohio through Sophia Hossein. The continuance was granted, and a new hearing was scheduled for November 13, 2013. On November 13, 2013, a hearing was held, attended by the appellant, Robert G. Cranebrink, but not by Leslie R. Cranebrink, because of a scheduled work conflict, and the representative from the state of Ohio, Sophia Hossein, and evidence and testimony was rendered to the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals. During the hearing of November 13, 2013, the state of Ohio, through Sophia Hossein, offered evidence in the form of five documents labeled Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit C, Exhibit D, and Exhibit E, respectively. These documents were presented to Robert G. Cranebrink and were explained to Robert G. Cranebrink by Sophia Hossein that these documents had been served upon the appellants prior to the August 7, 2013 hearing and were accepted into evidence. Upon review of the documents after the November 2013 hearing, it became clear that these documents had never been served upon the appellants Robert G. Cranebrink nor Leslie R. Cranebrink in advance of the hearing. And these documents had only been created on November 13, 2013. Further review of the correspondence with Sophia Hossein, State of Ohio, showed that the only documents provided by Sophia Hossein, State of Ohio, prior to the November hearing did not include any of the documents contained in her exhibits. The Ohio Board of Tax Appeal rendered a decision January 15, 2013, affirming the final decision of the Tax Commissioner of the State of Ohio. The appellants believe that the Ohio Board of Tax Appeal acted in good faith and took testimony of Sophia Hossein, State of Ohio, as factual. The Ohio Board of Tax Appeal did not have, nor was offered by Sophia Hossein, any corroborating documentation proving the evidence had been introduced to the appellants prior to the November 13th hearing. The Ohio Board of Tax Appeals requires introduction of evidence through BTA Rule 517-1-15I as the following states. Each party shall identify and witness to all parties and the consistent with the period set forth in the applicable case management schedule established in Rule 5717-1-06 and 5717-1-07 of the Administrative Code.
Was there a case management schedule in place in the appeal?
No, there was not, Your Honor. But there was correspondence between the State of Ohio and Sophia Hossein and myself requesting documentation prior 14 days to the hearing. Each party shall provide copies of documentary exhibits and plans to offer into evidence to all parties consistent with the period set in the applicable case management schedules unless otherwise ordered, in this case, 14 days. Since Sophia Hossein, State of Ohio, acknowledged the requirements of BTA 5717-1-15I, and since the documents had only been created as evidence on the date of the hearing, November 13th, 2013. It is proven that the rules of the Board of Tax Appeal, along with the higher rules of civil procedure, were not followed in this case. Therefore, the constitutionality of the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals decision must be in question since the rights of the appellants have been denied. Even if the state were to assert that I, Robert G. Cranebrink, accept the documents into evidence, there can be no such assertion for Leslie R. Cranebrink, who was not in attendance for the hearing and therefore cannot have reviewed the documents which were never sent prior to the hearing.
Did the BTA rely on these documents in its decision, or is that unclear?
Whether the BTA relied on those documents solely, those documents were put into evidence. They can't be untaken out of evidence. They had to have been considered in some form, whether they were the most weight part of the evidence or not. They were brought into evidence that the board had to have considered them in some form.
Did you object at the hearing to the documents being made part of the record?
I did not, Your Honor. At that time, Sophia had told me that these documents had been sent to me prior to the first hearing of August 7th, and I took that assertion as correct. It wasn't until after the hearing that we noted that the documents actually had the date of the hearing, November 13th, 2013.
What do the documents consist of?
These consist of ownership, cars. It's a very lengthy document. Residence, every personal piece of information with concerns to Leslie and myself.
And what issues do you think these documents relate to in the case? Does it relate to the issue of residency or?
Correct. But also, if we would have had those documents in advance, we could have refuted them, argued them, but we did not. And even if the court considers the fact that I was in attendance and accepted those documents could not have been accepted by Leslie R. Cranebrink, because she was not in attendance, and those documents were not delivered to us prior to the hearing.
Please proceed.
Thank you. I believe I'm going to repeat this, but I don't know where I stopped in the middle. Even if the state were to assert that I, Robert G. Cranebrink, accept the documents and evidence, there cannot be no such assertion for Leslie R. Cranebrink, who was not in attendance for the hearing and therefore cannot have reviewed the documents which were never sent prior to the hearing. The Board of Tax Appeal erred since the appellants provided documentation such as 1099s as of the place of employment, which was not in the state of Ohio. Since the evidence presented by the state of Ohio should not have been allowed to be presented as evidence against the appellants, the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals should have only heard the evidence presented to the Ohio Board of Tax Appeal as served upon Sophia Hussein by the appellants Robert G. Cranebrink and Leslie R. Cranebrink as presented to her August 7, 2013.
Let me ask you this. In outside of these documents, excuse me, that you're talking about now, is there other evidence in the record regarding residence and domicile in Ohio?
No, there's not, Your Honor.
And is that an issue in this case?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Okay. So it's your contention that during the years at issue, you were not a resident and domiciliary of Ohio.
We're saying that Leslie lived in other parts of the country, was taxed accordingly, and we are challenging whether she was a resident of the state of Ohio. That's what we're saying.
Okay. And yourself, is that also challenged, or...?
No, Your Honor, because I was in, but Leslie was the primary.
Okay.
Actually, the sole breadwinner at that time.
Now, there was an Ohio address, I believe.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So, what does the evidence show about that address?
Evidence shows several addresses in the state of Ohio, shows car ownership.
Well, I guess, I mean, apart from the documents that you're challenging.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, would you repeat the question again?
Well, I guess, does the evidence show that either of you or both of you were living at that address?
Yes, they do, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, please proceed with your argument.
The matter before the court is, was the evidence provided to the taxpayer by the state of Ohio appropriate and within the time frames dictated by law? Even if these documents were not the reason for the final decision of the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals, you cannot undo the fact that documents were offered as evidence and that the board did take them into consideration. Also, if the appellants had received the evidence in the time frame dictated by law, could and would the appellants have offered additional evidence to rebut? Therefore, the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals should not have affirmed the notice from Joseph W. Testa from the Ohio Department of Taxation of final determination. We ask the court not to affirm the Board of Appeals findings. Thank you for your time and consideration this matter.
Well, and it's your contention that without those documents that you're challenging, there's not sufficient evidence to support the determination of the tax commissioner.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Crane.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Hussein.
Good morning, Master Commissioner. May it please the court. My name is Sophia Hussein. I'm here on behalf of the Tax Commissioner of Ohio. The appellant's only issue that they've raised in this appeal is regarding the appellee's Board of Tax Appeals exhibits. And this issue is a red herring. The appellants have not contested the residency status or domicile that was not raised in the notice of appeal before the BTA or before this court.
Let me ask you, in reviewing the final determination and the BTA decision, is there any finding in either of those regarding the residency or domicile?
The residency finding is somewhat implied. The tax commissioner received IRS information.
There's no explicit finding in either
of those. Well, based upon the residency status is why they were assessed for the income tax. Based upon residency and earning income in the state of Ohio, and the tax commissioner had information regarding this on the appellants.
So at what point, if we look at the record, at what point do we see that they were informed you're being assessed because you're residents of Ohio? Is that in the record?
Well, certainly I have repeatedly indicated this in requests through discovery requests and also just general letters requesting for information prior to the hearing, indicating that, you know, you're presumed to be a resident, you own this property in Ohio. If this is not the case, provide us information showing where is your residence, where is your domicile, if you contest this, if that's not true.
Well, your involvement would have come after the final determination, though, right?
Yes. However, you know, it's the appellant's burden to show how the tax commissioner's assessments were in error. The tax commissioner's final determination has a presumption of validity, and the burden is upon the appellant to show how it's an error, to provide documentation showing why it's an error, how it's an error.
But do you agree with me in the statement that the final determination does not contain a finding regarding residency?
It does not explicitly say that, but I believe that that's the basis of the income tax assessment, is their residency status.
But certainly the taxpayer's burden to challenge it is dependent to some degree on what theory the state advances for imposing the tax, correct?
Certainly. And it's the appellants, the tax commissioner also requested for, you know, prior to the issuing the final determination, during the petition process, requested for federal income tax returns, state income tax returns to be filed to begin the process of evaluating the assessment that had been contested. That documentation was requested for showing residency or living elsewhere. You know, other people get into more details regarding contact periods and that sort of thing to show that they've spent more time elsewhere. This information was all requested from the appellant, and none of it was provided. Only until after the final termination was issued and I had requested through discovery for information were then the appellants provided 1099s and W-2s for Mrs. Krenbrink, which also showed that she was a self-employed corporate trainer working both in-state and out-of-state. when requested at the hearing whether, you know, they believe that tax was properly owed on the in-state income, this was conceded at the hearing that, yes, tax is owed on that income. The Krenbrinks misunderstand the Ohio tax law and think that the place of employment is what controls whether it's whether there's Ohio tax liability, but that's not the case. It's the place of the individual's residence. Residency means domicile in the long-standing common law definition of domicile, which this court has recently affirmed in the Cunningham decision, is that.
But you would agree that if they were not residents of Ohio, then it would matter where the work was performed.
If they're not residents of Ohio, then only income earned in Ohio would be taxable in Ohio, not earned elsewhere. But if you are a resident of Ohio, regardless of where it's earned or received, it is taxable in Ohio, except for the resident credit, which is then provided for tax paid properly in other states. So the domicile common law definition is it's one fixed and permanent home that one intends to return to when away. When asked specifically about this at the hearing, where does Mrs. Krenbrink return to when she's away for these various job assignments? The response was that she comes back to Ohio. She comes back to her permanent residence, their four-bedroom, 4,000-square-foot home in Cincinnati that they have owned since 1998. In addition to permanent residence and property ownership, there were many other common law evidentiary factors showing domicile in Ohio.
Let me ask you this. Apparently, no Ohio returns were filed for these years at issue.
That's correct.
So did the department pursue this because of information from the IRS? Is that how that began?
Yes, they had information both that they had an Ohio address, they filed an IRS return with their Ohio address, and they had information showing she had in-state employment. So certainly taxes owed on in-state income. The other common law domicile factors showing domicile in Ohio is that the public records admitted as exhibits, uncontested exhibits at the board tax appeal hearings, shows that both Mr. and Mrs. Krenbrink have had a presence in Ohio, at least going back to 1987 when they were married in Ohio. Mrs. Krenbrink votes in Ohio. She has an Ohio driver's license. Their cars are registered in Ohio.
Now, is the information you're pointing to now part of the documents that are contested by the appellant, or is that already in the record?
They're already in record, and they were not contested. There was no misleading by me telling the appellant that I had presented these exhibits ahead of time. I certainly did not say anything like that. If you review the testimony from the hearing, I made no such claims. I presented my case. I presented my exhibits. We proceeded to admit the exhibits into the record. The hearing examiner asked the appellant up front, do you have any objections? He said, no, hold on, let me look at the... He reviewed the exhibits and said, no, no objection. That would have been the proper point to raise any concerns about not seeing these exhibits beforehand. Also, the Krenbrinks did not contest their residency or their domicile or the fact that they resided at the Cincinnati address for many years. That's all the same information that's in the exhibits that were admitted. So they haven't shown how the admission of these public records prejudices them. How is that information wrong? How does that information hurt them? They haven't shown anything related to that.
Were they, in terms of the Board of Tax Appeals rules for disclosing exhibits, were they disclosed in accordance with those rules?
No, they were not. And the proper way to, deal with that is to raise it before the board and ask for the board to assist with keeping the exhibits out of the record, or at least raising it as a concern. However, the board's decision is only based on the finding that the evidence presented by the appellants was not sufficient to demonstrate error in the final determination. The Krenbrinks, as I said earlier, they provided 1099s and W-2s showing income earned in-state and out-of-state. There was no information or documentation provided specifically about where Mrs. Krenbrink resided out-of-state for how long. The general testimony was that her stays were more short-term rather than long-term. There was no alternative calculation provided for Ohio tax liability owed. There was no residency credit claimed, indicating that tax was paid on that income in other states. The Cranbrinks, they're Ohio residents. They should have filed Ohio income tax returns and paid Ohio income tax. Do you have any further questions?
Thank you.
The tax commissioner respectfully requests for this court to affirm the board's decision. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Cranbrink, you've reserved 4 minutes and 39 seconds. Would you like to do some rebuttal?
No, Your Honor. Thank you. Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cranbrink. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.